Well, this has been a little while since I've done something like this, so be kind. No throwing stones. It was funny, Jane was supposed to be preaching today, and she kept, as she was preparing, oh, there she is, there. As she was preparing, she kept hearing my name, and I'm thinking, that's probably went like this. Whatever you do, don't ask Terry. Don't ask Terry. I keep hearing your name. And so she asked me if I would come and share today. So I'm not one to question Jane's ability to hear from God. I'm sure she hears just very well from God. So with that, I respected that and said, sure, okay, if you feel that way, then. So if anything goes wrong, it's all Jane's fault. All right? There, that's all covered. It's funny because she had asked, you know, maybe I could share some of our journey that has taken us from Maple Ridge to Campbell River, Campbell River to Surrey, and then back to Campbell River, and so I had everything all prepared. I had my 6 pages. Even this morning, I worked till 11 o'clock, 11:30 last night, and I woke up this morning, and just in true Vineyard fashion, God put something else on my heart. And I'm like, oh, man, that doesn't ever happen anywhere else. But when we come here, you know, I just woke up and I thought, with this whole virus thing and everything, I just felt like the Lord put it on my heart and confirmed it through the prayers and through the words that what we need today is to just focus on the peace of God. So that's where I'm going to go today. Threw it together at 8 o'clock this morning. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But why don't we just let's turn? I don't have any slides or anything like that. So what we're going to do is look at Philippians 4, verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I believe it's Philippians 4. I don't even have the reference in here. That's how organized I am this morning. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a good way to start, I think. And in fact, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's anything excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's just pray. Lord, we come in the name of our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We come under the shadow of the Almighty, as it says in Psalm 91. You are our refuge. And he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty will rest. Will rest in you. And so we are here in that place, turning our attention away from all the distractions upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Teresa and I, in our little journey, we've experienced lots of challenges in our walk. We've had health scares, like some serious health scares. We've had some financial crisis. We've had we've walked through death and loss. We've walked through the loss of jobs. Has anybody ever walked through any of these things? Yeah. Okay. So we're not alone. Relationship crisis, and a lot of these things, you know, they come from major transitions. So we've moved. We've done major moves where we're moving our family, changing careers several times. And so this, I'll just open up with one story. When we left Campbell River, went to Surrey. We had resigned here. I was a carpenter and worship leader here at this church for 7 years, something like that. And we loved our life here. We had such a great life. We didn't want to be moving to Surrey of all places. That was like, what? I certainly can't be hearing from God. I mean, this is Surrey we're talking about, the car theft capital of the world. And why would we be wanting to go there? But the Lord put it on our hearts. So we decided we were going to go and scout out places to live. We had our house sold, and we were just waiting to move out. We had quit our jobs, and there was, nothing. I had a job to go to. Teresa had nothing at that point. And so we kind of looked at what we were going to be making financially and then we were going to go and just scout out, see what was available for housing in Surrey. And we went 2 months early, and as we were looking around, we were so devastated because there's no way we were going to buy a house there. There was no way. We wouldn't even be able to afford a condo. We couldn't even afford rent in a scungy basement suite from what we were looking at. And I remember sitting in the Tim Hortons parking lot in Fleetwood, and both of us, we couldn't even go in the doors. We just sat there in the car and just cried like babies. We were devastated and overcome with worry and fear, and it was just a terrifying moment in our lives. I'll finish the story later on. Keep you hanging. I'll give you a hint. It has a good ending. We worry about all kinds of things. You've expressed the same things. You've had issues in your life that cause you to worry, and I looked up the top 10 things that people worry about. The top five. One was jobs. Number five, job security. Number four, financial and credit card debt. Number three, health. Number two, we're worried about saving for the future. And number one, just getting old in general. When I was a kid, I worried about losing my hair. I don't worry too much about that anymore. That's a done deal. But I'm thinking, health and finances, that's probably moved up a couple of notches now with all this craziness that's happening in the world. And worry, anxiety, they have there's a trigger that happens. It causes us to fight for something, fight for peace, fight for order. It's a natural human nature trigger. When we feel that rush of dread, we want to do something to make things right. Get our world in order, make things good. We see wrinkles in our face as we go out and buy the cream. Like our society makes millions of dollars on fear. And we buy right into it, like we look into the mirror and we go, oh my goodness, I need to get that new exercise equipment because that's going to make me better. And we worry about our finances, so we do whatever we can to scrape together this and that, and we put it in a little safe place. And we hear about the virus, and so we rush out and we buy mounds of toilet paper. I don't get that one. I'm still baffled by that one. It's not that kind of virus anyways. I don't know. From what I've heard, I don't have it, so not to make light of it. But you know what they do? I've seen on Craigslist, people are selling bundles of toilet paper for $75. Yeah. The society thrives on fear and the knee-jerk reaction it causes us to do. We want to get order in our lives. And I'm telling you, I want to look at a guy who, in this letter that we just read, he was somebody that I think would be worth listening to when he says, don't worry about anything. Don't you hate it when someone comes up to you and says, hey, don't worry about it? No. Sorry, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. No worries. Sometimes that bugs me because it's like, hey, you have not walked in my shoes. You have no idea what you're saying. But when Paul says this, let's look what he went through. He was a guy that wrote, Sorry, my eyes are getting old. I worry about that. I don't. So he had enemies that vowed they wouldn't eat or drink or sleep until he was dead. Anybody have that that they know of? I don't, that I know of. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Once he even spent the whole night adrift at sea. That was in 2 Corinthians 11. If there was airlines, he probably would have been on a plane that crashed twice. You know, like this guy was not someone that you want to go traveling with. He seemed to find himself in some pretty crazy situations. And even as he wrote this letter, he was in prison, chained to a Roman guard, and writes a tutorial about how you can find peace. So if anybody can say, don't worry, it's this guy, Paul. And if there was ever a guy that you would want to pay attention to listen to his advice, it would be him. So I want to dive into this. Now I'm going to do things a little differently because I like to do things a little differently. I'm going to look at these verses backwards. That's not like the old days when you spun the record backwards and you get the hidden message. It's not like that. It's just this is how the flow goes in my mind. I want to see the ending first. I don't want to know the target. I want to know the result. I want to know the pinnacle moment and then see how we get there. I'm going to unpack it backwards. So the pinnacle of Paul's letter is verse 8 when he says, finally, here it is, finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That word dwell, I wanted to dig into that one. It's not just a, you know, hang out there on this. This is one of those moments where it's called, the Greek word was logizomai. It's fun to say, if you can get it. It's an accounting term. It's like logic. It's 1 + 1 = 2. If you look at your bank account today and there's $25 in it, you don't go, I don't believe that. I feel like there's 50. Well, some of you may, and then you go into your line of credit and that's all bad. Then you start worrying about your finances. But this is a logic term. It's a term about accounting. And basically he's saying, these are true. Dwell on this. Dwell. It's when God says that he loves you, he loves you. When he says that his grace is sufficient, it's sufficient. Dwell on these things. So that's the goal. That's the target. Now, of course, we have a battle for our minds. Somebody read this or said it this morning, to take every thought captive. Was that in the prayer time? That was in the prayer time, wasn't it? Yeah. Perfect. That's exactly the idea. Like, we are in a battle, and it's not a battle that wages war. It's not even a chemical battle or a virus battle. It's a battle for our hearts and our minds. And it says that the battlefield is our heart and mind. And why is the heart and mind so important? If you look at Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says to guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. Whatever you love and whatever you have passion for determines the direction of your life. So if your heart is overwhelmed with fear, your life will go in that trajectory, this direction. You know what I'm saying? The heart will determine the course of your life. Your mind, Romans 8:6, it says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. When the Spirit of God is in control and we have our thoughts, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, we're at peace. And why is that? That's because when we're going against God, we're living in acting on our sinful nature and our sinful desires. Well, now we come under the law, and the law says we've broken the law. And what happens when you're speeding down the road and you see that cop all of a sudden sitting beside on the road, and you can see the little gun, and you're whizzing by, your heart just goes, oh no. So I've been told. I don't really know, but when you break the law, you fear the law givers, you know, the people that enforce the law. Thank you. My brain was looking for that word, and I'm getting old. And oh, I'm not worrying about that though. Yeah, when you all of a sudden fear the enforcers of that law. But when you are at peace with God, under His grace, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, like peace. Guard your heart and mind. So because we're in a battle, we need a guard to guard that place of our mind and our hearts. Now, the word guard here is a military word, and it was interesting as I read about this word. Guard was used in a couple of different ways. We normally would see a guard and we would think the guard is keeping the bad guys out. And that's a normal way of thinking. But in military terms, the guards were also used to keep the people in. Because there was a tendency when all of a sudden you're being ambushed from an enemy, what's a natural reaction is to run, to flee, to get out. We're under attack, let's go. And they leave the protection of the gate and they blast out the gate, running for their lives only to be slaughtered because now they're outside of the protection. So the guards not only kept the bad guys out, but they kept the good guys from getting into trouble. I thought that was an interesting picture because that's a pretty common experience when we find ourselves in a fearful moment. We want to just bolt and we push God away, or we clamor to those human-made ways of finding peace, only to be left feeling shallow and empty and peaceless. Like trying to quench your thirst with a scummy pond. Yeah, it's water, but you don't want to drink that. Trust me, I've been there. Drank some bad water and suffered for a year. So we have this battlefield, it's our heart and mind. We need a guard. And that guard is not something, the guard is peace, but peace isn't something that you can lay hold of. Peace isn't something that you can grasp onto. That's what the world wants you to think. They want you to buy into it. They want you to buy the products that will bring you peace and contentment. Satisfy your fears, you know, get that alarm system, get that better alarm system. Not that alarm systems are bad, because alarm systems are great. I'm starting to fear. Wow, I just walked straight into that one. What we need to pursue is the one who brings the peace, and that is the Prince of Peace. That's the source of the peace That's where peace comes from, is a right connection, a right relationship with Christ. How many times, though, do we go, oh, God, you know, where are you? What's going on? And you've abandoned me. You've left me out in the cold. And you just want to turn your back and walk away from God. Whereas that's exactly the place you want to run to. But we push ourselves away. Oftentimes, that's the way it is a lot. So the battlefield is our mind and our heart. We need this guard, which is the peace that will guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. How do we deploy that peace? How do we deploy peace in our life to guard us and keep us protected? And it's simply this. He spells it out in verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything except the big stuff. No, it doesn't say that. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. Oftentimes when we say the word prayer, we think of the, you know, the folded hands and the kneeling by the bed, and we think of the formulas. We think of, and no, don't get me wrong, like there are good, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, how can we pray? And he gave them some instruction. But prayer is about communication with the Father through the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer is about relationship. And the best thing I could think of, I told Chelsea I was going to tell a story about her. And I'm not one of those ones that ask for permission. I just do it and whatever. So someone said, well, that whenever they would give an illustration about their kid, they would pay them $5. That's not true in this case, too. I just want to be clear. But when Chelsea was a little girl, she would have lots of nightmares. She would get up in the middle of the night all the time and come into our room and, God, can I sleep in your room? And we didn't like, you know, we just had a small bed, so there's no room for three. So we would make a little bed on the floor, and we would let her crawl into bed there, and all of a sudden everything was fine. And I was thinking about this in terms of the prayer. Prayer isn't like a formula that you go A plus B equals C, and I get these results. I put my coins in the slot machine, and out pops these blessings and answers to prayer. And God is not a glorified slot machine. He is our Father. He is the creator and sustainer of all things, and he wants to connect and talk and communicate with us. That should just blow your mind right there. But anyways, when she was a little girl, she would come into that room, and it wasn't a formula. It wasn't like a magical box that we slept in, and she didn't, you know, she walks through the doors, and all of a sudden there's peace there. It was because of the people that were in that room. And that is what prayer is. It's like walking, stepping into that holy of holy place that we now can have access to, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ did for us. That we sang about it, the veil is torn. We have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the throne of grace. And it even says in Hebrews, come boldly before the throne of grace. We're like those kids that just come marching in the middle of anything. It doesn't matter what's happening, and they come marching right up to their parents and tugging on their pant leg and saying, hey, 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 mom, mom, mom. That kind of boldness we have. It's about relationship. And I think oftentimes I don't utilize that. I don't nourish that. I don't, you know, you get busy in your life and your routines, and you forget that you have access to the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. And when we do come to pray, this is what it says. It says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's like four different things he says in here, by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, and requests before the Lord. I think we got the requests and the supplication. Oh God, please, please. You know, we've got that down. We often come to God that way. Usually it's when we're at the end of ourselves and we've left it way too long. I know I haven't talked to you for a long time, but I promise. So please, please, please answer my questions. Answer my prayers. We've got that down. But the thanksgiving part is, I think, where it would be really, to me, that's the essential part. To me, that's the critical part of coming before the Lord with thanksgiving in your heart. That's key. It's like, you know, prayer without thanksgiving is like a jelly donut with no jelly. You know, it's like a BLT with no bacon. It isn't even that, you know, like prayer without thanksgiving is not really prayer. And I'll tell you why. When we come before God and we start with an attitude of prayer and worship, I think that's why we do things in church this way, where we actually have some worship. And we, if you're like me this morning, I struggled to enter in at first. And then all of a sudden, worship broke through, my heart melted, and I was ready to receive from the Lord. When we come to God in prayer without thanksgiving, it feels a little bit like we're just whining to God. But when we come with a heart of thanksgiving, it puts everything in its place. God, you are the creator and sustainer of all things, and you love me. You spoke this world into existence. You breathed your breath of life into our lungs. I just want to give back to you. Your grace, you say, is sufficient for me, that your mercy is new every morning. I'll never wear that out. You're a covenant God who made a promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. You're a covenant God who made the way for us. We don't earn the way. You made the way. And we just simply receive. Now I'm ready to ask. Now I'm ready to bring my requests to God. Because I know who He is. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Lord over all things. In Him, the whole world is sustained. This virus thing, it doesn't scare Him or surprise Him. It doesn't overwhelm Him. It doesn't fear Him. It doesn't make Him afraid. He doesn't scratch His head and go, wow, that's a new one. Oh my goodness, how am I going to deal with this? He is King of Kings. And He conquered death. And in Him, that's our hope. That's our peace. When you feel the nearness of God because you've drawn near, that's when peace that passes understanding washes over you. It's funny because we look for peace and we look for peace. Usually we want it the way, where everything is all good. When we pray for peace, I mean, be honest with yourselves. A lot of times you're saying, Lord, I pray that everything will be good in my life. And so, well, anybody can be at peace when everything is all good in your life. The peace that passes understanding, that makes no sense, is the peace that shouldn't be there, but it is. And in order for that to happen, you need to be in some pretty crappy places. You need to be in some struggles. You need to be in some areas where, okay, this is a challenge. Now I need your peace. the peace that doesn't make sense, but there it is. I'll return to our story. We were sitting there in that Tim Hortons drive or parking lot and feeling like fish out of water, like there's just no way we should be here. We went back to our friend's house and we lamented a little bit. We went to bed. We got up the next morning and Teresa and I were both, we just opened up the Bible. We started reading and we were praying together. And God took us to Psalm 37. And this is what it said. And by this time, you know, we had barely slept. We really weren't feeling anything. No peace still or anything. It was a devastating time. And this is what it said. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him. He will help you. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. The Lord delights. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And in that moment, it just dawned on us. If we found a place that was within our price range and we could actually rent or buy or whatever, we wouldn't have been able to do it because we were 2 months early. You know? Like, what are we doing? We are trying to make peace for ourselves and not trusting in God. When He says, wait patiently for Him to act. Stop being impatient. That He delights in every detail of your life. All of a sudden, no circumstance had changed, but this peace washed over us. Didn't make sense. Shouldn't have been there, but it was there. And we walked out of there and we went home. We came back to Campbell River and just were at peace. Even though we had no place to live moving forward, we knew it was going to work out. God was not going to abandon us on the streets. He was going to give us shelter. And sure enough, a month before when we should have been looking, our friends, they actually called us up and said, you know what, I think we found the perfect place. It was the top two floors of a big house, and it was coming available right when we needed it, and it was $900 a month in Surrey. And I was like, are you kidding? He took a few pictures, and we said, we'll take it. We didn't even have to drive to Surrey. We didn't have to do all that. We didn't have to worry about all that. God provided just in His own way. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives, even the detail of your health, even the detail of where you live, even the detail of your financial situation, even the detail of what comes next. He delights in those. I could tell many, many more stories about the way the Lord directed, and I'll have to save those for another time. But if there is another time, I don't know. John 14:25. I just found this morning as I was preparing. It says this. I'm telling you these things now. This was Jesus kind of. This was his last kind of. He knew that the guards were on their way. He was about to be arrested. This is the upper room, and he's got one last thing to say to his disciples. This is going to be an important thing. These are his last words before he gets dragged off, so they are going to be important. So you want to pay attention. Famous last words. I'm telling you these things while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that He gives is not the way the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Those were His last words to His disciples before He got dragged off. There's an Advocate coming, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to leave you with peace. Not the way the world gives, not the world peace or worldly peace, but peace that passes understanding. It makes no sense to have it, but it's yours. It's a gift. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that in you we have everything we need. And even when we are faithless, you are faithful. Even when we are full of doubt, your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, I pray that in light of this epidemic that is running around, that is wreaking havoc in this world, I pray that we would be ambassadors of that peace. I pray that we wouldn't get caught up in the frenzy and the craziness, but that it would only turn our attention and our minds upon you. Lord, let us dwell. Let our minds dwell on the things that are yours, of you. I pray, Lord, that whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is right and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely and of good report, if there's anything excellent and worthy of praise, Lord, let us dwell on that. It's easy to get caught up in the chaos, pulled down the rapids of fear and anxiety. Lord, you're our refuge. You're our anchor. You're our rock on which we stand, and we do. We stand in you. And wherever we can, let us pull people ashore. Let us rescue people from the chaos and let them experience standing on solid ground. This week, as we experience more and more of this around us, I pray that your peace would overwhelm us. As we bring our requests before you, as we bring our thoughts and our supplications, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we turn them to you. You are our hope, and you are our only hope. And we declare that in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.